As the story also involves some details that took place during the Holocaust and has some elements that can be possibly frightening to some kids, it is advisable parents listen to it first before they let the children listen to those things. Most kids probably wouldn't react to it, but there may be some kids that will find it too scary and too frightening, so it's better to listen to it first. Hello, Kinderlach. We just had yesterday Shabbos Chazoin. Shabbos before Tisha B'Av is called Shabbos Chazoin. This week is the week of Tisha B'Av. We hope that this year, on Tisha B'Av, we'll have a Yom Tov. We won't have to fast because Mashiach will come before Tisha B'Av. I want to share with you a story. Also, an amazing story that I just read. It has something to do with yesterday, the Shabbos. Yesterday was the Dalad Av, the fourth of Av. Dalad Av is the yahrzeit of a Rebbe, of a Tzaddik. His name was Rebben Zion Halberstam. He was known as the Baba Verov. Unfortunately, he was killed by the Nazis in 1941, Tovshin Aleph, Dalad Av. As I said to you in the previous story, my neighbor that I knew very well as a child was a chassid of his and was a student of his and was very close to him. I want to share with you an incredible story that was told by a Jew whose father was also very close to this Rebbe, and what he went through and the miracles that he saw. Sometimes even when we are reminded ourselves of Tisha B'Av and the Tzoras and the Golos and all the destruction that Hashem brought upon us so that we can do tshuva. But even in the midst of all the darkness, Hashem shows sometimes his miracles that people get saved, even though it makes no sense. The story was told by a Jew by the name of Rebben Zion Frankel. His father was Meir Frankel. Meir Frankel was a child in the 1920s. That means like 15 years before the war. He was like 12 years old. And he came from Hungary. Hungary, a city called Ratzfurt. Ratzfurt was a very famous Jewish community with a very famous Rav, the Ratzfurter Rav, Reb Sholem Lazarel. He was the son of the Tzanzarov. One of the youngest sons of the Tzanzarov. This boy ended up, this Meir Frankel, who was from Ratzfurt, ended up, he lived in Hungary, his family lived in Hungary, in Ratzfurt, but he ended up in Poland. Somehow he had to travel to Poland, but he got stuck there. He couldn't go back home because the government wouldn't give him papers, a visa, to go back to his home country. So he got stuck in the city of Babov. But this Rav, the Rebben Zion Halberstam, was the Rav and the Rebbe in that town. He ended up learning in the yeshiva there and became very close to the Rav, the Baba Varav. He learned there for many years, for 3-4 years. He was bar mitzvah there. He couldn't even go home for his bar mitzvah because they wouldn't let him go through the border into Hungary. So his family couldn't come to him. He had to stay there. Family somewhere else. He had a bar mitzvah only with the people in the yeshiva. That was his bar mitzvah. And he grew up. He became an older bacher. And finally, he was let go back to Hungary. He ended up going back to Hungary. And learned in some yeshivas there as well until he got married. And he was married for 10 years. Before the war, he didn't have any children. Meir Frankel was very close all the time to his original Rebbe, the Rebbe from Babov, because since he started off as a child in Babov and he became very close to that Rebbe, he always had a connection to him, so that he would write letters to him. Sometimes the Babov Rav would come to Hungary to raise funds for his yeshivas. He had many yeshivas in Poland. Thousands and thousands of Bachim learned in his yeshivas.
and he needed money to feed the Bachim. And this mayor was very helpful to him. Mayor once got him a huge amount of money that would help the yeshivas really, really, really do very well. Because it would support the yeshivas really well. The Bachim would have what to eat for a long time. It would really help the Bachim learn Torah better. And the Rebbe, the Baba Verov, was very appreciative of Meir that he did this incredible thing for him. He connected him with a very rich man in Hungary that was willing to give a lot of money to the yeshiva. Now Meir, who was married, as I said, for 10 years, still didn't have any children. He didn't get a bracha for children. He used to go to his Rebbe. He used to write him all the time to the Baba Verov, Rebbe, I need a bracha for children. And the Rebbe would always give him a bracha, but nothing would happen. Now that he saw, he did this incredible favor to the Rebbe. The Rebbe was very, very happy of what he did. So he said, okay, now is an opportunity, a chance for me to go to the Rebbe and ask him, really, I need a bracha that works. Right? The brachas till now were just brachas, you know, good wishes, but it didn't work. So he went into the Rebbe's room before the Rebbe left back to Poland and said, Rebbe, I need a child, 10 years after my wedding. And the Rebbe got very excited, very emotional. And he said to Meir, Meir, I promise you, you'll have a child. These words, I promise you. That's different than a bracha. You know, a promise and a bracha, two separate things. The Rebbe once told my father, Oliver Shalom, my father, he was in Yechidus, my father asked for a bracha. The Rebbe said, you want a bracha or a promise? And my father wasn't sure what to say. But the Rebbe offered him, instead of a bracha, a promise. A promise is a whole different thing, because when a Rebbe gives a promise, it's going to have to happen. What does it say in the Gemara? Tzadik goyzer, v'kodesh bracha mekayim. When the tzadik says it has to happen, then Hashem makes sure it happens. And so, Rebbe Meir felt very, very good. The Rebbe says, not just a bracha, he promises him he'll have a child. So he walked out of the room very happy. He says, that's it. I know I'm going to have children. The Rebbe went back to Poland, and then the war broke out. Oy, how terrible it was. Oy, Jews were sent to concentration camps, and there was such terrible times for Jews, as you all know probably from the stories that you have heard before. Rebbe Meir also ended up being caught by the Germans, by the Nazis. He was put on a train to Auschwitz. But because he had this promise from his Rebbe, he knew that he's going to have to survive the war. Because how is he going to have a child? The Rebbe promised he's going to have a child, that he must live. So he decided to do a very dangerous thing. When they took the train with all the Jews to the concentration camp, to Auschwitz, where they ended up killing most of the Jews, he decided to jump out of the train while the train was speeding. It's a very dangerous thing to do. If you fall the wrong way, you can die. Many people tried to jump from the trains in the time of the Holocaust, the war, and many lost their lives over jumping from the trains. Also, the Nazi soldiers, when they saw somebody jumping, they would shoot at him. Many times they were able to shoot at them and kill them. But he decided he's going to take a chance. He has a promise of his Rebbe. He jumped out of the train, and he managed to run and run and run and run. They shot at him, but they didn't succeed. He ended up in some town all alone, but then he got caught again. It happened three times. He was put back on the trains, until the third time, he was caught again. He jumped off. He was caught again. He was on the train, and he saw there were very few guards on the train. So he took an opportunity, a chance, and he jumped out again. It was in the winter, a lot of snow, freezing cold, and like maybe a foot of snow. But he jumped anyways. They started shooting at him, but he kept running and running and running. I have a promise from my Rebbe. I have nothing to worry about. I just need to keep running. And he ran. He ran and ran and ran until they stopped shooting because they couldn't reach him. And finally, he kept running for hours and hours. He was exhausted. He came, he saw from a distance a house with a light. So he went closer to that light. Maybe he can find a place where he can get warm because he was freezing. He can freeze, he can die from frost. So he went closer to the house. He sees there's a stable. Didn't want to go into the house because it was a German town and maybe they'll catch him again. So he decided he'll go into the stable. And there are cows in the stable. And the cows, you know, their bodies are warm. So he'll sit between the cows and get a little bit warm. He walks into the stable. He sees the cows. He gets closer, deeper inside. And he sees a Jew lying on the floor who has been beaten, full of blood on him. And he's unconscious. So he immediately took off his shirt, tore it into pieces, bandaged him up, and washed him off, and brought him back to life. His name was Yeshua Katz. This Yeshua Katz told the story later. He also survived the war. But this Meir Frankel saved his life. Well, what happened? This Yeshua Katz was taken by the Nazis to milk cows. You know, sometimes they took a Jew. They needed somebody to work on a farm. They had farms maybe for milk for the soldiers. So they said, your job will be to milk cows. As long as he milks cows, they let him live. So he milked cows every day. But one day, one of the Nazis who were in charge of the house and the farm came in dead drunk. He was drunk like Lot. Remember Lot in the Chumash? He was drunk. And he came out drunk and with a big baton, like a big stick, and started beating the Jew till he became unconscious and then he left. So that's, you see, the Hashgacha Pratis. Meir is jumping from a train. He's running away from the Nazis who are shooting at him. He comes to the stable just on time when Yeshua Katz was still alive. He had no idea that he was going to find a Jew there. He saves his life. Not only that, he realizes that he needs a few days to recover, to get healthy again. So he knew that if he doesn't milk the cows every day, you have to milk cows every day. If the Nazis see that he's not milking the cows because he doesn't have any strength, then they'll send him to concentration camp and that would be the end. So he used to sneak into the farm every day and milk the cows for this Yeshua so the Nazis wouldn't think that he's not milking the cows till he saw that Yeshua was strong enough and then he disappeared. Meir disappeared because he was afraid the Nazis are going to find him here and they're going to send him back to the concentration camp. He kept running and running and running till he came to a city, a small town in Germany, and he felt sick. Started feeling very sick. You know, in those days, there was a type of illness that used to spread amongst many people in Europe. It's called typhus. Typhus is a dangerous illness. You could die from it. He felt that you usually get a high fever, and it's a dangerous illness. He felt he had a high fever, and he had typhus. And he kept going and going. We didn't know where he's going because he had nowhere to go. But he just kept walking in the city, on the street, and then he collapsed. He fainted because he had so much fever he couldn't walk. The German people that lived in the town saw a person lying on the ground. They looked at him and said, oh, he must be Jewish. So they had in that town a hospital just for Jews. The Germans made a special hospital. It wasn't a real hospital, it was like a tent or something for Jews and gypsies. You know, the Nazis, they hated Jews, but also hated gypsies. Gypsies are a type of tribe, non-Jewish, not Jews. They're just like goyim that live in the streets. In Europe, there was a lot of those people. So they used to have a hospital just for Jews and gypsies, which they used to treat very badly. So the German people who found Reb Meir on the floor, they picked him up and put him in that hospital. And Meir is lying on the bed with a high fever. And he can't think straight. He can't move. He has no strength. And he falls asleep. And as he falls asleep, he sees in his dream his Rebbe, the Baba Varav. It seems that the Baba Varav at that time was already an Olam HaEmes. As I told you before, he was killed by the Nazis in 1941. This must have happened much later during the war. But he sees his Rebbe in the dream and he says to him, Meir, I have a question for you. What does it mean when it says, we say in the Shema, V'hoyim Shema, Tishmu El Mitzvaysai, that if you listen to my mitzvahs, Hashem says, I'll give you all the good things. And Chas V'Sholem, if you worship idols or you do the wrong thing, V'choro Af Hashem Bochem, Hashem's anger will be aroused against you. So what does that mean? The Rebbe asks Meir in the dream, and Meir begins to cry hysterically in the dream. He says, Rebbe, we've never seen Hashem so angry in history. Look what's going on. They're killing millions of Jews. And he's sobbing and crying. And the Rebbe says to him, I interpret it differently. V'chor af Hashem, even when Hashem's anger is aroused very strongly, bochem, he's still with you. Hashem is always with the Jewish people, even in the darkest times. And then he says to him, Meir, you should know you're in an imminent danger. There's a danger in this place where you are now. You must get up and leave right away. Meir wakes up. He couldn't believe his dream. This was an incredible dream. And he thinks to himself, the Rebbe says, I have to leave. But I can't even move my hand, my arm. I'm so weak. I can't even move my... Who talks about getting up? It's not possible. So he's thinking, what should I do? But the Rebbe says, I have to leave. So he's thinking and thinking, and he's falling asleep again. And the Rebbe comes back. And this time the Rebbe is angry with him and scolds him and yells at him. He says, I told you, leave now. You're in very imminent danger. You must leave at once, this second. He wakes up and he realizes this is serious business. Twice in a row, the Rebbe came and told him that he must leave. He says he pushed himself out of bed. Literally had to crawl on all four on his hands and feet because he couldn't walk straight. And snuck out of the hospital. He even crossed the street to the other side and saw an abandoned house with a fence that had a breach on the bottom where you can go sneak under the fence. Went into that abandoned house and the house was empty. And looked out of the window. And then 5 minutes later, he sees the Nazis came. They surrounded the building. They set it on fire. And everybody there, nobody survived. He saw that the Rebbe saved his life. In other words, the Rebbe gave him a promise when he was alive. And he made sure that the promise will come true even after he passed away. Coming in a dream and telling him when to leave. To make a long story short, Meir ended up surviving the war. He came back, his wife that he was married to for more than 10 years, now it's 15 years, 5 years later, she had been killed by the Nazis. He remarried and he had two sons. And one of the sons told that story. Kinderlach, one of the things that the Chassidus teaches us, the Tzemach Tzedek tells us that even in the most terrible times for the Jewish people, like Tisha B'Av, the time when we remember the most, the saddest and most difficult times that we Jews had to have, we have to know that Hashem is with us. V'chor af Hashem, bochem. B'chassidus says more, the Tzemach Tzedek says, not only is Hashem with us, even in the most difficult times when we suffer so much, you say, where is Hashem? Why doesn't He save us? Hashem is there. Not only that, says the Tzemach Tzedek, the love Hashem has for us then is greater than the love that Hashem has for us in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when everything is good, and we don't have any suffering, we only have great things. The love of Hashem for us when we suffer is even greater then. And when Mashiach comes, we'll see that greater love that was hidden in a time of suffering and time of darkness. This time of the year, right before Tisha B'Av, we have to remember, yes, we are reminding ourselves of the terrible times when Jews suffered so much, but we have to remember also these are the times when Hashem revealed His greatest love for us. You want to understand it better? I'll give you a mashal. You know, when a child, a father and a son, a parent and a child, or a mother and a child, when the child is having a hard time in suffering, then the parent feels a stronger love for the child. They feel sorry for the child, a stronger. That's one thing. Same thing with Hashem, we're like Hashem's children. When we suffer, Hashem feels stronger love for us. But there's another thing. What do you think is harder for a parent? It's harder for a parent to give the children candy and everything the children want, and make them happy? Or is it harder for a parent, more uncomfortable for them, to punish the child when the child cries? Which one is harder for the parent to do? Causing the child to be happy, give them what they like, or causing them to cry and give them a punishment because they want them to get better? Which one is harder for the parent? Everybody understands, for the parent, the hardest thing is to make the child unhappy and to punish them. Because every parent who loves their child wants their child to be happy and have what they want, have what they need. No parent likes the child to be unhappy. So why does the parent then make him a punishment, which causes the child to cry and to feel bad? Because the parent loves the child so much that he wants to make the child better. And he knows sometimes you have to punish him. So the parent is willing to be uncomfortable and to be pained. It's hurtful to the parent to watch the child cry. But he's willing to be pained by watching the child cry because he loves the child so much that he's willing to even endure pain. See, this is a mashal of how dafke in the times of suffering, time of golus, the love of Hashem is much greater for us. And we hope very soon Hashem will reveal that great love that is hidden, specifically in the times of darkness, the time of misery and suffering and golus. And then these days will be transformed, will be changed around into Yomim Tovim, into happy days.